second scripture reading this morning comes from the Psalms, Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8, which you can find on page 508 of your Pew Bible if you are interested in following along. Hear now God's word for us this morning. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear God and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have a terrible memory. Sometimes I feel like I should come with a warning so that everyone around me might appropriately lower their expectations of my recall abilities. Caution, it would say, does not remember things, anything, really. This is why Facebook's memories feature has been a favorite of mine. And if you're a Facebook user, you know what I mean. Every day, Facebook tells us of things we posted, pictures or words from that day on the prior year or in previous years. Sometimes these memories are wonderful. Right now, I have the joy of reliving the travel seminar I went on to the Middle East this time last year with the seminary. In fact, a year ago today, I went from the ancient city of Petra to the Wadi Rum Desert in Jordan, both of which had giant rocks we had fun climbing and amazing views that I hope to never forget. Then there are the not so good memories. Every now and then, I'm reconfronted with grief or with loss, like on the anniversary of when a mother of a youth from my home church unexpectedly died one Sunday afternoon, and together we were shocked and heartbroken. And then those memories can be downright embarrassing, particularly when I am come face to face with my younger self, particularly posting about being hashtag blessed. I'm not sure exactly what I ever meant in these posts, and they were often accompanied by photos of nice things or extremely happy faces. But I think New York Times columnist Jessica Bennett puts it best, and she writes, God has recently blessed my network with dazzling job promotions, coveted speaking gigs, the most wonderful fiancés ever, front row seats at Fashion Week, and nominations for many a 30 under 30 list. There's nothing quite like invoking holiness as a way to brag about your life, she writes. But calling something blessed has become the go-to term for those who want to boast about an accomplishment while pretending to be humble, fish for a compliment, acknowledge a success without sounding too conceited, or purposefully elicit envy. I will bless the Lord at all times, the psalmist proclaims. God's praise shall be continually in my mouth. I can't help but wonder if declaring we're hashtag blessed is really how we're supposed to bless the Lord at all times. Aren't those blessings supposed to be pointing towards God, not ourselves? My soul makes its boast in the Lord, the psalm says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Us humans are pretty good at boasting and magnifying, but who or what are we actually lifting up? This psalm, Psalm 34, is a psalm of thanksgiving. The psalmist gives thanks for answered prayer, testifying to the power of God's care. God has responded to the psalmist seeking out, and now the psalmist is full of praise. For isn't this at the core of what we believe? That God hears our prayers and God takes action in our lives. That God knows us and God loves us. This bold proclamation about the goodness of the Lord, this talk of praise and boasting and deliverance, it seems like arrogance, maybe even a humble brag, but it's not. This isn't the biblical version of hashtag blessed. It's simply pure adoration for the one who hears all things and knows all things and can do all things. It's a song of thanksgiving for our infinite, almighty, ever-present God who is beyond anything we can imagine. This psalm isn't one of arrogance. It's a testimony to God's character. Oh, how natural it is to praise God when we sense God's care in this way. Blessings easily fall from our lips when we are happy, when life is good, when the bills are normal and the job is secure and fulfilling and loved ones are healthy and relationships are strong. Perhaps it struck you, however, that it is only because of complaint or need that the psalmist praises God for God's good deeds to begin with. It's only because this poor soul cried that praise of God is continually in the psalmist's mouth. I wonder what this psalmist went through that they sought such deliverance from God. Was it the loss of a loved one, a mysterious illness, oppression, rejection, loneliness, depression? Today's passage from John also features a complaint and its aftermath. You recall where we left off last week, Jesus had died and is risen, making himself known to Mary Magdalene outside of the tomb where his body once lay. Now Jesus appears to the disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." And though these men were not present for Jesus' crucifixion, after seeing the physical marks of his grisly death, they believe. They rejoice. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So he tells his fellow disciples, maybe after hearing them brag, perhaps not so humbly, about witnessing the risen Lord, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Poor Thomas gets a pretty bad reputation for this declaration. Doubting Thomas is what history remembers him by. But really, Thomas simply wants to see what all of the others have been granted, an encounter with the risen Christ. And can we blame him? Don't we too want an encounter with the risen Christ? A week later, Thomas gets what he's been longing for. "Peace be with you," Jesus says again. "Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas's response is a bold confession of faith. "My Lord and my God." Unbelief turns to belief. Complaint turns to praise. And from that point on, Thomas and all of the other disciples are witnesses to the resurrection, sent by Jesus to tell of his promises of life and hope and his acts of healing and restoration to those who cannot see him, so that they too might believe. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." These are the psalmist's words, but they could be Thomas's too. These words of praise from this psalm do not pour out because life has only brought happiness. I doubt if he or she was around today, the psalmist would consider themselves hashtag blessed. Instead, this thanksgiving is brought forth by this person's memory and awareness of God at work in the world and in the lives of all God's children. This praise is witness. And I think Thomas would agree. So too are we called to witness and give thanks to God for God's actions in our lives. "Taste and see that the Lord is good," the psalmist encourages us. "Do not doubt, but believe," Jesus says. I wonder what it would taste like to have this constant praise and witness, this belief in our mouths. Historian Kate Bowler, professor at Duke Divinity School, knows this taste. Kate was 35 when she was unexpectedly diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Her prognosis was not good. She was given a 30% chance of surviving. In her book, Everything Happens for a Reason, Kate writes, "In those first few days after my diagnosis, when I was in the hospital, I couldn't see my son, couldn't get out of bed, and I couldn't say for certain that I would survive the year. But at a time when I should have felt abandoned by God," Kate writes, "I was not reduced to ashes. I felt like I was floating, floating on the love and prayers of all those who hummed around me like worker bees, bringing notes and flowers and warm socks and quilts embroidered with words of encouragement. They came in like priests and mirrored back to me the face of Jesus." These friends also brought Kate casseroles, lots and lots of casseroles. I heard her interviewed on a podcast recently, and Kate admitted that those friends and casseroles fed her for the entire first year of her diagnosis and treatment. These friends have witnessed to the resurrected Lord, sharing the promise of Jesus' life and hope. Kate has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Friends, so too are we called to be resurrection witnesses. Despite my terrible memory, I can recall you all living in this way time after time since I've known you. This has naturally come in the form of a lot of food, from Wednesday night suppers to fellowship hours to youth group dinners to meals in your homes. I have tasted the goodness of the Lord quite literally more times than I could possibly count. But you've also been resurrection witnesses in the stories you've told me about your lives, about this church, about your faith. In Sunday school and Bible study and prayer group and youth group, you have magnified the Lord with your sharing, questions, insights, and prayers. You have testified to the risen presence of the risen Christ, who is most certainly still alive. You have embodied what it means to have life in his name. And so today, I give thanks. I praise God for all the things God has done in our shared life together. And I hope you'll join me, because, except you don't have to cry. But we are not called to praise God alone. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, the psalmist says. Let us exalt God's name together. Together here at church, together at home, together with friends and with neighbors and with all of the communities we are a part of, testifying to God's powerful love and care, witnessing to the presence of God in our lives. For how much more might God be magnified when we join together with those who journey in life alongside us to witness together God's care for all of each of us and each of all of us, to remind one another that even if we don't remember it, God is there. Even if we can't feel it or understand it, God is there. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see, taste the praise continually in your mouth. Taste and experience the living God in your life so that you might witness to the story of God's love and care. And do it together, sharing stories and love and prayer, and maybe even casseroles. For we are called to have praise continually in our mouths. And that praise, my friends, has the best taste of all. Amen.